Good morning. I once read a book which describes human consciousness, human awareness, as being like a beam of a flashlight which is shining inside a huge warehouse. So you come to a warehouse in the middle of the night, not that you're there to rob the warehouse, mind you, but you're there in a warehouse in the middle of the night, and you've got a flashlight. And your flashlight, the beam is 5 or 6 inches in circumference, and it's shining around a little bit here, a little bit there, all around the warehouse. But it's such a big space that you're not really able to see most of what's going on. The warehouse is just too big. And so in our life is just too big. There's just too much going on at any one given time that we can't pay attention to everything. We can only see some things. And if we try and pay attention to everything, we just get so distracted. We couldn't dress ourselves. We couldn't get in the car. We couldn't come here if we're trying to see everything at all. So our attention, our awareness, just naturally filters out almost everything that there is. And so think about your awareness right now. Think about what you're aware of. And think of what your flashlight is focusing on. So I'm speaking, so you're aware of me. And you're aware of me because my hair looks really good today. It's a joke. I call your attention to the awareness of this big space. Maybe you're aware of your feet. Maybe there's some pain. Maybe there's an itch on your head, or a fire truck will drive by. We're aware of these things, and then we just let them go and we move on to the next thing. But we're never aware of everything. And among the many things in our life, I think it begs the question, how aware are we of God? Sometimes I think that Jesus, through the scriptures and through the prayers, is calling us all the time to be aware of God. One of the roles he plays is to help us be aware. And sometimes I imagine Jesus like a coach off to the sidelines, yelling at the team, look for God. Look for God in your neighbor, he says. Look for God in your breath, in your sins, he says. Look for God in the world out there. Look for God in the poor. There are so many things that want our attention and our awareness that Jesus is there, fortunately, to call our attention to the fact that we have to look for God. And that's what we have in this parable today, this parable of Lazarus. Jesus is inviting us to see God in Lazarus. And Lazarus, as you may know, is a very unique figure in the parables of Jesus Christ because he is the only person in any of the parables that gets a name. Mostly you just have a dishonest steward, or you have a widow, or you have a person who owns a vineyard. But in this case, Lazarus has a name, which means particularly that Jesus wants us to see him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given him a name. And in this parable, the rich man passes by Lazarus, who's sitting outside his door again and again. He doesn't know his name. He doesn't see him. He's constantly focused, this rich man, on his own concerns, as we are. His own concerns, his own business, his own hair. He's thinking about his life. He's thinking about his friends. He's coming and going. And his beam of his attention is focused on a million things aside from that one hand of that poor beggar who's sitting outside of his house asking for just a few scraps. And so this is a parable about the failure to see. It's a parable about the failure to see God and the failure to see another human being. And it is a parable about the space, the gulf, the chasm, as Jesus calls it, the chasm that exists between people all the time because of our disagreements with other people, or because of our prejudices, which we carry, or because of our hatred, or because of our own self-preoccupation, and the fact that most of the time, the beam of our life is shining here and there, but never really looking on God. Here in the parable, the rich man has never connected with Lazarus. And you can imagine that for him, Lazarus exists somewhere in the warehouse, but it's a part of the warehouse that he's never gone to explore. And yet in the parable, we know that the rich man knows that that part of the warehouse exists, because in the parable, Father Abraham says, look, what does Moses say about Lazarus? What do the prophets say about Lazarus? What does the law say about working for the poor? About giving people charity, about not being greedy, about not being unkind, about being generous toward your other human beings. The rich man knows the law, he just doesn't see it. And it's true. We know the right thing. We know what is right. We know what is wrong. Those of us who've been here have been around church for a while. We've heard Jesus talk for a while. And if you think about it, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's just that it's so hard to see Lazarus. Our eyes will avert. Our eyes will turn away. And it's easier just to pass by and keep going. Even in death, this is an interesting thing in this parable. I noticed for the first time this year. Even in death, the rich man is still ordering Lazarus around. He says to Abraham, send that man Lazarus to go dip his finger in water so I may have water. Send that man Lazarus to go to talk to my brothers. Even in death, the rich man has this big chasm between himself and Lazarus. He's still not seeing God. And yet, despite the tone of the parable, and despite the fact that he is in hell, and despite this implicit warning that Jesus gives us, this is also a parable of hope. Because Jesus wouldn't characterize this inescapable hell without also giving us a chance to avoid it. For just as you and I every day find ourselves in our own chasm, separate from other people, just as you and I every day find our attention so focused on other things and not focused on God, God sends us every day, Lazarus, an opportunity to see. Right now, aren't there Lazaruses whom we pass by every day? Aren't there Lazaruses to whom we can give our attention, where we can see God? Even here at church or after church or sometime in the course of this week, it's a sure thing that there is a place or a situation to which Jesus is inviting us where we can go and we can see God there. And God has given us these wonderful opportunities in other people. There's a rabbinical saying, which is that darkness does not end when the sun rises or when someone lights a candle. Instead, darkness ends when you can look into another person's eyes and see God. God is everywhere. And I have a story, a Lazarus story. One of our parishioners this week, he didn't give me permission, but I'll ask for pardon after the story. He was downtown here on Main Street. He came upon a young couple, a man and a woman, and the man, they were probably 20 years old, the man was asking him for some money for food. So our parishioner reached into his pocket, he pulled out all he had. He had $3. So he gave the man the $3 and they chatted, and then they went on their way. And our parishioner realized that he didn't have money to buy himself lunch, so he went to the ATM, and then he went to the food court that's up down here on Main Street, and he saw the young couple there. The woman was sitting at a table, the man was at one of the counters, and he heard the man at the counter talking to the young man talking to the man at the counter, the man who was working there. And our parishioner heard the young man say, I only have $3, but I'll wash your dishes and I'll do your floors if you can buy me a hamburger, which cost a little bit more. And our parishioner said that the man at the counter wasn't angry, but he gave this young man a look of disdain, as if to say, why are you even here? Why are you bothering me? Why have you come into my life today to give me this hassle where I have to give you a couple extra dollars? And so our parishioner went up and he talked to the young man and he said, what's your name? And the young man said, my name is Doug. And the parishioner went to the man at the counter and he said, hey, this is Doug. I want you to get Doug whatever he wants from the menu. And I'll pay for it. And Doug said, I can get whatever I want. I can get fries. And the preacher said, yes, whatever you want. And then the man at the counter said, and you're going to pay for his meal? And the preacher said, whose meal? You mean Doug? Yes, I'm going to pay for Doug's meal. And he did. It's foolish, of course, to think that all of our problems and all of the problems of the world will go away if we do something nice like this for someone else. But it's true that if we do something nice like this for someone else, then we will probably do it again. Because we shift our awareness away from the many things in the warehouse of life to see the one thing that exists where God is, which is the presence of the divine in the eyes of another human being. We shift our awareness when we do something good, and we change our priorities from being able to do anything at all in this world to finding, instead of anything at all, finding the one thing that brings us happiness and peace, which is the divine in the presence of another human being. I know in our church, and if you read the catechism, we have 7 sacraments, but I would say that if I were in charge and I could add a sacrament, I think the sacrament of communication between two people is so important. I have communion a couple times a week. I was ordained once, that's a sacrament. I was married once, that's a sacrament. I was confirmed once, that's a sacrament. But I have the opportunity to have the sacrament of engagement with human beings every single day, again and again and again. And believe me, as you know, there's nothing like it. This parable is important, not because we fear like the rich man that we're going to be sent across the gulf into hell, but this parable is important because most of the time we are in some kind of hell. We are separated from other human beings in such a way that Jesus Christ, in his goodness and mercy, has given us the opportunity to say, look into the eyes of Lazarus. He's right here. And find me there. And find your own soul there. And find your peace there. Especially as our country heads toward whatever it's heading in the next couple weeks. Think about the divisions and the potential for the gulfs to get even greater. And think at the same time about Jesus on the sidelines, yelling to us, look for God. Look for God. Look for God. Amen.